This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Wait a minute. Shake your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene. You got to have the feeling. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. Happy Father's Day and all that other good stuff.
Morning. Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Get on the good foot.
I'm telling you.
We're going to hear James one more time this morning.
Okay.
Maybe even twice. I don't know.
Well, why not?
It's Father's Day.
Absolutely.
That's your song.
Absolutely,
the James
man.
Song. Papa Don't Mess.
Yes.
So we will feature that this morning. We've got some father songs throughout the morning. Anyway, we hope you made it through the rain yesterday.
Well, if you had it wherever you were. And you know what? It was... Because I heard it grumbling coming over toward my neighborhood.
Grumbling, that's a good way to
call
it.
It was grumbling, grumbling. And nothing
coming
was,
to mess your house up.
And nothing was falling, but it was grumbling, grumbling. And I go to the radar, and I look at the radar and says, okay, well, it's a little something. Now, you know, it was just hitting and missing. And then all of a sudden it grumbles, and the rain comes out. And, like, my lights go out, my power, you know, it messes up your TV, you know, reception.
See,
you
yeah,
got, you got
that's the first
TV.
Thing
you That's
you
the first
out.
Thing. That's the first thing. But that could just be some serious rain. Then the lights go out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Well, you didn't get scared, did you?
No, I didn't get scared, man.
You got a dog, by the way?
No.
See, that's your first line of defense knowing when the rain's coming. People will tell you, "Well, may she rest in peace. I just miss my dog, Roxy."
Yeah.
But she would be the first one to let me know rain was coming. She did, man. Animals know stuff, right?
Yeah,
they
do.
And she'd start running around and doing stuff. And,
yeah.
And at night when it would happen, she would burrow under the bed. And she rarely went under there, but when the rain was coming,
you knew it.
You hear all kinds of noise going on under your bed. Got to pay extra for that in Vegas.
There you go.
So,
there you go. There
anyway,
you, go. You get rained on a lot?
Yeah. I got to, you know, I was thinking about this. You, from now on, you should call me.
Okay.
If you think the rain is coming, and check on me, because I get it first, being out on the west side.
Most of the time, I mean, but yesterday, I think this came up from the south or something. Because I looked the radar and I did see some out your way. I did see a green patch over your way. And I said, well, okay, well, I see some over there. Maybe that will head over this way or something. But right now I'm hearing something over my head right now. I'm like, well, what about this that I'm hearing right?
We're going to skip over Cobb and down there on the south side. We're just going to mess with Gwinnett.
Yeah, we're going to go right up here. And, you know, I'm like, wow. But, yeah, man, it opened up and I was out lights there for a couple of hours. There.
Well, listen, better yesterday than today.
Yeah,
because you want folks to be able to get around on Father's Day.
Yes.
Make it to church.
Absolutely.
Then go out afterwards.
If that's what Dad wants to do.
Yeah.
Today, you're just like, Dad, what do you feel like doing?
This could have been a different type of day in the sports world for dads.
Yeah.
But a lot of them probably are throwing their hands up like Pontius Pilate and said, listen, I forget it. I'm done. Because of what we saw yesterday
in Chinatown
Hills.
You would be talking about the U.S. Open. We're going to dive into this.
Just one of those things where, you know, on the surface, if you're a hardcore golf fan, I don't know how they feel about it. If you are a casual golf watcher, you're upset Tiger's not there. But, B, let me tune in.
Tiger and a whole lot of other folks.
Yeah, but he's the one that moves the needle more than anybody else.
Yeah, but, I mean, you want to see the best of the game, and you see a lot of the best players in the game. They all pack their bags, and they split on Friday. And so you want to see them.
Not all of them.
Most of them, but I mean, there's one particular one that's there. Boy, did he make some
news. Well, listen, the number one golfer in the world was there, and he was leading. So, again.
Before we got started yesterday.
Before we got started yesterday, he was leading.
They call it moving day.
Okay.
So, what direction you moving in?
Dustin Johnson, or Mr. Gretzky, as some call him, is running things yesterday. 4 under par as he gets started.
As he gets started.
Now, by the end of the day yesterday, the course just decided to kick everybody in the backside. And you know how we talk about in other sports, sometimes the coaches, the managers, they outthink the room, they outthink their own players and start doing something, start getting cute. You got to figure that that's what happened with this course. and the people who tend to it up there at Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's get into this because I know there's a couple things that we want to talk about having to do with what we saw yesterday.
Absolutely.
And we're going to spend a segment with that next segment.
We talk about the Braves. The Braves got to win. And Braves is somewhere you can take dad today, by the way. And that's our survey, by the way. You know, things you do, sports-related things you like to do with dad or good sports-related things to do with dad. And we got the survey going on.
Yeah.
Bowl on the other side of the glass. How's that looking?
Well, I'll get to the survey real quick, but 10,000 pairs of Father's Day socks being given away today at SunTrust Park.
There you go.
10,000 pairs of Father's Day socks. What, have you seen those socks, what they look like?
I have. They're pretty sweet.
Yeah?
And do they have five? What?
I don't get to take them home myself, but I'm hoping maybe some get mailed to me or something. they're like blue, and they got the A all over them. And they're just cool Father's Day socks. They actually have some different Father's Day. They got a new Father's Day hat this year and another pair of Father's Day socks for sale at the Braves Clubhouse store and at MLBShop.com.
Okay. There you go. If you take that out to the ballpark today. It'd be great to see the Braves get another win over the Padres. Beat them 1-0 yesterday. Bullpen held up.
Yeah.
At the end. Oh, man. I mean, you know, that was great to see it make one run, hold up, and they get the win over the Padres yesterday.
You know, we didn't talk about it, and I actually had forgotten about it until I saw the interview, but there's actually a Mark McGwire sighting out at the park.
Yeah. You don't say much about it, but
Man, you talk about somebody who went in the witness protection program. You just don't see him for somebody who, A, you didn't think would ever work in baseball again.
Yeah.
I mean, past Tony La Russa. You knew La Russa was always going to give him a job.
Yeah.
But once La Russa left, I just didn't think I'd see, Mark McGwire.
And they don't make a big deal about him. He's just there. Listen, is that? Yeah, that's yeah. And
there he is.
Yeah.
And what do you think? Let me ask you a question. If he walked in here right now, what would you talk to Mark McGwire about?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I would still talk to him about the season home run chase.
What would you want to talk to him about, though? See, there's two different things. There's two lines of questioning here. Because, you know, this is the 400-pound gorilla in the room.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I would ask him? I would ask him about the latest story about Rafael Palmeiro. Palmeiro's come out saying he wants to clean up his image. He wants to do whatever he can take to turn things around.
Yeah.
And, of course, regardless, from now on, when you see a Rafael Palmeiro story, they're going to have that picture of him waving that finger at Congress.
Well, there was no reason to.
It was him pointing up. Palmeiro was, I did never, and he wagged his finger at Congress. Yeah. I never took steroids. And then a few months later, tested positive.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's the thing, everybody. When we talk about image repair, the greatest image repair is A-Rod, you know, right now, the things that he's doing. So. You know, and maybe this is McGwire taking a different path.
Yeah.
He said, let people just see what I'm doing. I'm actually working with younger players. I'm actually trying to do something good for the game and let that speak for me.
The crazy part about that is all those guys caught up in that net would have been sitting in Cooperstown right now
had they
not done that.
Yeah.
People forget when he stepped into the league, Mark McGwire set the record, the all-time record. I think he still holds it for rookie home runs in a season. Wasn't it 49?
That's up in the air.
I think it was 49 home runs.
It was the A's. He and Canseco were out there just with the Bash Brothers. They were just.
Well, was Canseco with him then, the first year?
I don't know if he was there the first year.
Yeah, but I mean, this McGwire's rookie season set the record. He was with him? Okay. So, but he's. Yeah, that was his rookie year? Okay, both saying 86. Okay. But all I know is you didn't think you were going to get this from this guy. And 49 home runs. And then what he did thereafter. Now, mind you, you could say, okay, well, he was a part-time player, he was a DH, so on and so forth. But he still, if what he did after the strike with Sammy Sosa was done without the connection to steroids, he'd be sitting in Cooperstown right now.
Oh, sure.
For his contributions to the game, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And of course, we know what Barry would have been in there.
Barry.
Roger Clemens. So. And like I said, it's head shaking. I love the fact that Maddox has got one. I've said this before. Roger Clemens and all that stuff. Threw his wife under the bus and then landed on the list at 350, and Maddox didn't want to be behind him. He got 351 total home runs. He won one more win than Roger Clemens.
Yep.
Love that. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on this Father's Day. And throughout the morning, we're going to be talking about our fathers.
Yeah. And we invite you to join
Please
in with us, too. 404-741-0929. Or, of course, you can go on Twitter and join us there and take part in our survey. But we want to hear, obviously, we're going to talk about things we did with our dads, and a lot of it's around sports, and want to hear those experiences from you, either with your dad or as a dad, that you've done sports with your children. So I think that'll be an interesting conversation to have throughout the morning. We got a lot of great things to talk about, and some guests we hope come up that I think people will enjoy hearing from as
well.
Yeah,
we're going to tease it. Don't even say it, because if it doesn't happen,
okay,
I feel like jumping out the window.
Well, I know we got. I know one's going to happen, and we're going to talk about that. And a hot topic as far as sports fans go, someone who knows a lot about holding out with our Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
You know, and what it was like for him. He's going to talk with us later on this morning. So we'll have that this morning as well.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to ask you, I didn't look and see, and I should have did this ahead of time because you just said something to remind me. Is NASCAR at it today?
NASCAR's off today.
They're
headed out west. They're going to play.
Next week?
They do the left turns and right turns and uphills and downhills, wine country, Sonoma. That is the next.
The reason I brought that up, NBC takes over next week, right?
No, they got the 1st of July.
Okay. Well, I see the commercials with Dale.
With Dale. Isn't that something?
And that got me thinking about Father's Day
about
and all
Father's
of that stuff.
Day, obviously, the combination. One of the great, you know, father-son, you know, duos. When we talk about those in the history of sports, you definitely, you think about the Earnhardts in NASCAR. But, yeah, NASCAR goes over to NBC July 1, and that gets some, maybe the halfway point of the season. They go back down to Daytona, run Daytona again, and see what happens the second half. It's amazing, though. He's still the big name, even though he's going to be off the track.
Exactly.
And microphone.
Exactly.
They're promoting that so heavily, NBC is, more than any driver.
He's the name in the sport. Listen, golly. Jeff Gordon's been doing it for a couple of years. Again, there's people who move the needle and people who don't. Despite what they did when they were performing, they just don't have that thing. And, of course, it brings
But you got to win. You got to win.
Again, I'm talking about when I'm talking about Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, there are only a few people that won more than him. Yeah. And then you got the guy who's there right now who may or may not even have a sponsor next year and has won, what, 7
championships
as far as Jimmy Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
And he could walk down the street right now and people – he would, you know, you remember
Really this season because he's struggling this year.
Yeah, but he's still Jimmy Johnson. Listen, Earnhardt didn't get anything done his last season. I mean, these guys, I don't know how the Francis have not – the governing body, of course, of NASCAR, done more to promote.
That's part of the problem.
Well, okay, see? But they make their name for themselves, too, doing other things.
Well, that's the thing. They've always left that up to the teams to do the marketing and promoting of the drivers. And that's different. A new owner, a new group taking over NASCAR, as we've heard proposed, would do that differently. They would have to do it differently.
But you still have to have that it factor.
Well,
to be the person either with the black hat or the people that people just love. And now Dale Earnhardt, he got grandfathered into that. So he didn't really count. He really had to do anything just except be born.
Yeah.
All right. So he's
really
he
had to go out and show that he could drive and compete.
And he did do that. But he still is the outlier.
Yeah.
But what else do you have to do if you're Jimmy Johnson not to be the first off people's lips when it comes to this sport? And yet
You got to get you a good marketing person, good marketing PR person, because he's not good at doing it himself. And to me, the folk up at Hendrick Racing, they're great at winning races and championships, but maybe they ain't the best at marketing and promoting their folks.
Listen, we're going to get back into that and a couple other topics. I want to talk about what's going on with the U.S. Open. I know you
yes,
do, too. That
yes,
is up
I
next.
Do. Yes,
Sam
I do.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white pellet has never been found to this day.
Sports Radio 92.9.
But it went straight down the middle.
Sam's favorite singer, Bing Crosby.
Had the kids.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, Bing. Bing did have family issues. Anyway, a great song to get us into what we're going to talk about next year going on up Shinnecock Hills. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, Mr. Crenshaw, where do you want to start? You want to start with the USGA should have been doing?
Well,
you
want
to talk
about
the players?
We're talking about the score. Right now, we headed for the final round. We got a four-way tie atop the leaderboard at wonderful Shinnecock Hills. Everybody at 3 over par.
Yeah.
And a lot of things you expect after 3 days of a U.S. Open. Even traditionally, is a difficult layout, and the USGA does things to make it challenging, and that's what spectators expect. We got Daniel Berger. We got Brooks Koepka, who is our defending champion. We got Tony Finau, remember, who dislocated his ankle at Augusta.
Yeah.
He's feeling a little better there. He shot a 66. Those guys got out early.
Now, stop for a second. What? Those are the leaders.
Along with Dustin Johnson.
Along with Dustin. Yeah. And I was telling you earlier that regardless of the play, there's no names that are active right now. And I don't care if he's the number one player in the world or we're talking about Phil. There's nobody that moves the needle like the guy who got in his boat and left day before yesterday.
I know that, but he and a lot of other guys that were with him, too. But, I mean, yes, because people tune in to see.
That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, a lot of other guys that are current as well that people would watch for, or want to see challenge him are gone, too.
This is one of those, like you said, the U.S. Open every year. The thing is, we get spoiled here because we know what's going on with that first major of the year. Everybody knows the course. Everybody enjoys coming down here to Augusta,
but they know it. But it's a different course every day. That's the thing. It's the same layout, but it's a different layout every day. And more than just weather changes, humidity can change it. Different things can change Augusta and make it a difficult place to play, too.
But it's the same location.
But it's the same location.
It's
the only one that's the same location.
All of a sudden, one year, they're not going to have an ocean with ocean winds blowing around like they do this year. Up there in New York.
Well, you put it right down the coast.
I'm saying, but they move the U.S. Open location around every year. But for whatever reason, this location, they can't seem to get it right. Can't get right.
Well, why can't they can't get it right? They've had it there before.
And they messed it up last time. They're still talking about what they did in 2004. And they messed it up. And the conversation that was going on before this U.S. Open with officials and reporters talking to people, they have been told over and over again, we learn from our mistakes in 2004. They overthought the room. They started cutting grass certain ways. The place felt like a parking lot to a lot of the players. And as you heard yesterday from some of the top golfers, they lost the course. Right? You heard that phrase.
That was Dustin Johnson,
Zach Johnson. Yeah, Zach Johnson talking about that.
Who said that after his round of 72 yesterday, he is at +8. But the guy that everyone's talking about, obviously, this morning, and rightfully so, is Phil Mickelson.
I'd have done the same thing.
I mean, they're guys who go out and play in pro-ams, or they're playing with the buddies on Monday mornings or whatnot, and you're just having a bad hole.
Yeah.
You just want to stop it and get on to the next hole.
And if you know that you're only going to lose 2 strokes, and you know you're out of contention anyway, then I'd have done the same thing.
At what point, though, do you get to that point? You're so frustrated with what you're going through out there that you just kind of snap a little bit. And I think that's kind of what happened. Here's a guy that knows all eyes are on him. They're out there. I mean, even though he may not be contending because of who he is and what he's accomplished, this is also the major that has eluded him.
On his birthday.
You know.
So he had a whole lot of stuff in that blender yesterday.
A whole lot of stuff going on. He's thinking about it. When he sees that thing not only past the hole, but he knows it's going, and he don't know when it's going to stop.
Yeah. I'd have done the same thing.
He broke out into a little trot.
He did. We don't see Phil. We saw him at that vertical a couple years ago, all 4 inches of it. And then yesterday.
He broke out into a trot, man.
The thing that upset me the most about that was the interview he did at the end with Curtis Strange where he got on his high horse. And it sounded like them old-time golfers where it's the tradition of the game and it's the sportsmanship and all that sort of stuff. And he should retire. I mean, he should withdraw.
Withdraw.
And shut up.
There are some people who felt like he should. And you know what? I don't think anybody put any pressure on him, especially not from the USGA, because they know what
they did. No, they didn't. They gave the penalty.
Well, they know what they've done out there, too. They also know what they've done with that course. My take on this thing, and here's my. I know you come from a way of who are people going to watch today. You made it so difficult until your top contenders and the guy that everybody watches is not there, and then your guy who's your number one guy, has a horrible round yesterday. I mean, he's still got to share the leaderboard,
but he shot
a 77.
Make your point, because I actually have flipped how I feel about this now. Because it's a clown show. So it's actually maybe worth watching.
But here's my take on it, and the take I thought about as well. because I hang out around a lot of tennis. And USTA is similar to the USGA in that they are the governing body for the game, for the sport in this country. They set up the rules and guidelines and the parameters. They organize, orchestrate, and officiate competition at various levels, from the juniors all the way up to the top, as we're seeing this week.
Okay.
But they're also one basic fundamental thing with both organizations.
Yeah.
It is to promote and encourage participation in the sport. You tell me a kid, you're going to sit down and show them this. So, and say, now don't you want to go out and play? To me, that's given no thought. And what do we always
do?
When we talk about golf and what's happened with it the last couple of years, what are one of the things you always say?
Remind me. I say so much.
Participation.
Oh, well, obviously, yeah.
Well, not obviously, but that's what you always, that's when we
well,
bring it
up.
Well,
also viewership, or lack thereof.
But you always say participation. That's one of the things you need. Okay, so that is an issue. It is an issue. And this is your showcase. You know, this is your showcase, U.S. This is your showcase. Get it right. Not only you want to put on a show, make it challenging and difficult for the best in the world, but you also want some kids to watch this sport and say, hey, I want to give it a try. Not just the ones whose fathers play, and happy Father's Day to the kids who are going to go out and play golf with their dads today.
Yes.
But the kids who haven't played it and maybe tune in and watch and see, well, these guys are supposed to be great. They don't look so great to me. They don't look like they're having a good time. You know, never mind, they're all millionaires. But, I mean, they don't look like they're having a good time. So, to me, they're dropping the ball in one of their major areas.
Yeah.
And that is to encourage participation in the sport. Yeah. And then that's the big issue I have with what they've done wrong up there. How is this supposed to encourage folks to want to play? Is this encouraging anybody to want to go out and play?
No, not at all. I agree with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Sam and Greg, on this Father's Day, talking this U.S. Open and what's going on up at Shinnecock Hills. They have got so many issues. That's one of the arrows that are flung at these guys. But the other thing is, we know that this sport has gone south for a number of years. There are a number of networks that have done stories on the descent of golf and where it was when Tiger came in. What was supposed to happen after Tiger? No. All these minorities were supposed to gravitate toward golf and start playing. Where's that?
Right. You know, you don't have as many as people may think. Well, the Pro Tour would never turn into the NBA. But I mean, you do have some playing at different levels. And that's the thing that he said. He got cornered about that a few years ago out of Augusta. You know, everybody got him around there after he'd been there, played there for 10 years, where the minority golfers. And you look around.
They asked Tiger that? How is he supposed to answer that?
Yes.
That's not his job.
But they asked him that.
Well, that was a stupid question because there's no way he could answer that question.
If he's supposed to be the person that's making people watch and make people want to play. And that's the thing. There are more playing. There are more people who have an understanding of the game. There are more people who have an appreciation of the game. It does not mean you're going to see people playing, you know,
on the PGA conversation.
Tour.
But here's the thing. Now you don't have as many people playing. You got golf courses closing regularly around this country. There was a number that was staggering. Probably 5-6 years ago, I remember Real Sports with Gumbel had the guy from TaylorMade on, and they talked. They spent more time promoting Topgolf than they did talking about how the state of golf at that particular time and what it was like around the country and all these courses that popped up when Tiger hit and there was the explosion.
Yeah.
And they priced themselves out, or they priced us out. The folks that wanted to go play, it was just too expensive to go play. And, you know, you had a convergence of a generation, call it millennials or whatever, but that generation that was right along with Tiger or the ones that were younger than him that were coming up were playing video games. They're all gamers now. And they got a whole lot more satisfaction being a gamer than they do going out and chasing a ball in the woods and playing what seems to be an impossible sport.
It was an impossible sport to master.
And an expensive sport.
Anyway, I mean, you don't just become a dominant person on this golf.
Where's the fun at it?
Well, if you're watching what they're having right now, I mean, it's fun if you're going out and just playing and learning how to play on a course that it gives you a chance to compete and learn and have some success. Because that's the thing that brings you back out there. It's not the whole round, but it's two or three shots when you get it right. And you say, yeah.
We understand
that. That's how the game of golf, to me, reels you in. But to watch these guys on TV this weekend and see what they've been put up against is just ridiculous.
I don't think anything in the PGA Tour in 2018 is geared toward bringing people back to the sport as far as if watching these guys. I just don't. And they had their chance over the last couple decades. Anyway, 404-741-0929 if you want to join the conversation or give us any kind of Father's Day story. We're welcome you on board here. Dan, I think, is in North Atlanta. Yeah, let's bring him on here. Dan, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Father's Day to you.
Appreciate you, sir. You too.
I just want to make a comment. I don't think the problem is with the course, but what they've done to the greens is criminal. The greens are like cement. And when you watch players hit the ball pin high, where the ball bounces 5 feet from the hole, then rolls off the green, and then 20 feet by the green. And then if I was Phil Mickelson yesterday, I wouldn't have hit the ball with my putter. I would have hit it with my driver, and I would have aimed at the USGA tent. You know, that's what I would have done.
Dan's right. I mean, this place was playing like a links course.
Yeah,
it's absolutely – it's a shame. It's a bad model for golf, and it's just a shame that I don't know what the rules people are thinking. But that was just my comment this morning, and hope you guys have a great Father's Day. Thank you.
You too, sir. You too. Appreciate your call.
Thanks a lot.
Listen, next year we won't be talking about this. It'll be somewhere else, but it's this
Pebble
particular –
Pebble Beach next year.
Yeah. We never have that kind of conversation at Pebble Beach. We don't have it at Marion. We don't have it at Bethpage Black. You know, we don't have it at some of these other U.S. Open courses.
All the more reason why they should have gotten it right this time.
Especially after what happened in 04. Especially. You mess up like this on this kind of stage. Now I don't know what happens moving forward. This course held or hosted the third U.S. Open ever. The third one.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, as they say in hockey, one of the original six.
Right.
Okay, so they're going to keep it there as far as
absolutely.
I can believe, but... Why do you keep outthinking the room? Like I said, the guy's talking about around the greens. I mean, I consider it still part of the course, whatever they do.
Oh, yeah.
But there are all manner of problems giving these guys headaches. But, again, I flip my thought on this. I'm going to enjoy it now because, listen, we talked about millionaires.
Yeah.
We talked about these guys doing what they do. This is a week they earn their money.
Absolutely.
So given that and that stance, I'm like, okay, let's see what you can do.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get back to more U.S. Open talk. We're going to get back to your calls, too.
Henry, hang on.
Yeah, please, Henry. We are grateful for a lot of things, especially on this Father's Day, and we're going to tell you what that is next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Radio 92.9 The Game. Papa was a Rolling Stone. Temptations on this Father's Day. You can hear a smattering of Papa, Father
Dad related.
Dad Day songs like this.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, we want to send you to our survey. Go to 92.9 The Game on Twitter and let us know what you did with your father sports related. Whether it was fishing, whether it was playing golf, whether it was just, you know, sitting around watching various games. First time he took you to a ball game. Any kind of father-related story, we have the survey up, and we've put a couple suggestions on there. And if we have one that doesn't connect with you, be sure to include it. Bo, have we got an update on that first?
We do indeed. So what's your favorite activity to do with Dad? Gone fishing, meaning play golf, watch sports or play sports, and that can include being coached by Dad or maybe even coaching Dad.
Right.
272 votes thus far. Watching sports is running away with it with 62%.
Yeah.
I kind of lean on the edge of playing sports. I was a catcher for some odd of years when I played baseball, and my dad was actually a pitcher when he was in high school and through college. So that was kind of a bond that we had with that sport. So go to 929 The Game on Twitter or at 929 The Game. It is pinned to our little homepage there.
There you go.
Outstanding.
And going to get back to... like I said, later on, we got a lot of folks that want to jump in as far as the U.S. Open conversation. And at the core of this, we understand that they try to make the courses harder than the regular ones. So we understand that that's the base of what they're trying to do. But
a challenge.
Yes.
Challenging.
At some point, they go a little overboard. But again, on this day, on this Father's Day, we have these great memories, and whether being a father or of our father. And that's at the core of what we are most grateful for.
The guys are pretty grateful. Yeah, grateful to be employed.
You guys are like my peeps. You're my dogs.
Now, let's find out what other things they're grateful for on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, who's going first?
I don't know.
I was looking at me.
Whichever one you want to do.
No, who you want to tell the story first?
I can go first.
Go ahead.
June 26, 1966.
Wow. Don Sutton was pitching, wasn't he?
Nope. I think he's on the team, though.
Oh, you really were talking baseball? I was just kind of kidding.
No. My first visit to Atlanta and my first trip to Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Me and a friend of mine grew up in the neighborhood of Birmingham, and our dads packed into his dad's Bonneville.
Oh, I love that.
And drove to Atlanta, and that was a difficult drive in those days because there was no I-20.
That's right.
And we were on 78 Bankhead Highway. Took you, all the through. Oh man, it took you forever to get here. So we left before at Old Dog 30 to get over here in time. And it was Braves against Dodgers, and it was Sandy Koufax.
Oh, there you go.
Pitching for the Dodgers. And the place was simple. I mean, and we didn't get tickets in advance. And so we're trying to get in this place because the place is, like, going to be sold out. It's going to be packed.
Yeah.
And so now I can tell the truth about this. We add that to the ticket windows, and they look at us and they say, how old are them boys?
And I bet they said that, too.
How old are them two boys right now? How old are they? And they said, well, tell you what, y'all get tickets. We're going to get them up to the turnstiles. And when you get up there to the turn, y'all going to pick them up and lift them over that thing and drop them. I can tell the truth now. They picked me up and dropped me over the turn. So I'm into the stadium because the seats we got were like in the general admission way, 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 way up in the top
Buford
of the
seats.
Way, way. I mean, it was so far up in the back. Somebody hit a ball out into beyond the midway point of the outfield. You had to stand up to look down and see it. That's how far up they were. But that was my first visit, and Sandy Koufax, I just remember, he struck out 11, and Dodgers won 2-1.
Wow.
So that's something I did.
That's one
dad.
Of those things that you wish you had a DeLorean now.
Yeah.
You could get in and jump back and go to that just for a day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mine was the first time I was carried. And it's funny that we all talk about, we were all brought. We all carried. You were brought to Atlanta, Fulton County Stadium.
Yeah.
I was carried across the state line to Indiana. And in the back of a, I don't know what it was, to be honest with you. It might have been a Thunderbird. But Indy 500. I've talked about that.
Okay.
And
how old were you?
I was 7, something like that, 7 or 8. He took my brother 1 year. My brother didn't want to go again. He was older than me, 7, 8 years older than me. And then, so that was my first time going to the Indy 500. And he went with his friend, Mr. Emory Hall. And Emory Hall had a profession that is gone. They don't do anymore. He was a TV repairman. He was a TV repairman had a real nice business.
I'm sure.
Oh man, I love going to his shop. But yeah, it was being taken to the Indy 500, and I want to say Johnny Rutherford won.
Okay.
So that was my earliest.
Yeah.
Just one of those memories that will stick with me doing something with my father. Just the first time going to a big time sporting event. Too.
Yeah.
Other than going to a Cubs game.
Yeah.
So, Bo?
See, I don't know if I can consider this a big-time sporting event, but growing up in Bossier City, Louisiana, you know, right on the other side of the river from Shreveport, which is the second biggest city in Louisiana.
No.
It doesn't say a whole lot for it. It's still probably only 500,000 people in the combined metro area. Well, it might be more now, actually, probably up in the million range. But anyways, we had a AA affiliate of the San Francisco Giants growing up. Shreveport Captains. Used to play out at Fairgrounds Field, and my mom and dad would take me to baseball games. That's kind of where I grew my affinity for the sport, was watching
minor league baseball. See anybody?
Will Clark, Kevin Mitchell.
Whoa!
Yeah. I have a lot of Will Clark baseball cards because of them coming to play exhibition games.
Yeah.
I was still more of a Oakland A's Yankees fan growing up because of Ricky Henderson, but I followed the Giants also. Because of them coming to Fairgrounds Field every year. So,
yeah.
Baseball is what I would probably be grateful for as far as the bond between me and my father.
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Listen, we're going to be doing this all morning long. We love to hear from you, 404-741-0929. We do have time for this one? Okay, let's again, getting back to the conversation, it's probably going to go on. Go on throughout the show. Henry, we got just a minute or so here. We're going to give you the stage talking about the U.S. Open and the conversation Sam and I were having. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Father's Day.
You too. You too.
I want you to know I'm on my way to work right now, but you're going to love this because I'm a fishing guide up on Lake Lanier, and I'm taking father and son fly fishing this morning.
There you go.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
There you go.
It's a good day to be at work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Anyway, you know, guys, I hear what you guys are saying. I know the boys are all, you know, the golfers are all, many of them are complaining. I got to tell you, I love it. One tournament a year. One tournament that we make super hard. I got to tell you, I'm not a golfer, but I love watching golf. And I will tell you, I can't stand when I'm watching a Masters tournament and these guys are 19 under for the tournament, you know, after 4 days, or 20 under. I want to see these guys put on their pants one leg at a time the way we do and see them struggle. I think it's a mental game as much as it is a physical game, and I just think this is the one time a year. I don't want to see these guys complaining. I don't want to see Mickelson frustrated with Zach Johnson complaining about the course. We're talking one tournament a year, and if you can't deal with it, then stay home and don't compete. That's all I'm going to say.
There you go, Henry.
All right, Henry.
Appreciate it.
Drop the microphone.
And yeah, he did. And you know what? I told you I changed my thought. I agree with him 100% now. I changed the way I'm thinking about this. And I'll tell you why as we get back into this. Anyway,
we're
into the 7 o'clock hour. That is coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.